In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The return of Christ is our hope and our joy. It's why we wake up and get out of bed each day. It's why we continue on day after day with the work we were given. It's why we ultimately gather here. The return of Christ is our hope and our eager expectation. There is no fear, no uncertainty, no terror of what will happen on that day. We know exactly what will happen and what will happen to us. Because the one who is coming is the very one who hung in hell for our place, in our place. He bore our sins. He was hung upon a tree so that he might be the cursed one, and we might be declared not guilty, holy, innocent, and righteous through faith in him who redeemed us. We know of Calvary. And so we meet that day with eagerness and joy. Every moment in your life has led up to that day. Every event in your life has prepared you to meet the Lord on the clouds with joy. It's why you were born in the first place, to live in the presence of your God and to meet him, to be his forever. It's why you love to hear the preaching of the forgiveness of sins, because it is that forgiveness that makes you holy and righteous. It is that forgiveness alone that grants you access to heaven. Can there be a more sweeter sound than these words? Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you from before the creation of the world. Before God said, let there be light, there was a kingdom for you. Can there be a more beautiful sight than to see the clouds part and pierced hands and feet coming through to claim you as his own? Can there be a more joyful sound than those heavenly trumpets? It's a day that we wait for with eagerness. It is why we wake out of bed each morning and why we continue about our day. The Lord is coming for us. So why be worldly when eternity is yours? Why fill up your house when it is simply destined for the fire? Why set your heart on what is dust and ashes when eternal dwellings are given to you? Why despair over politics or the economy or politicians or anything else in your life when God has far greater things in store for you? You are almost at your goal. Christ is coming soon. He created you not to labor on this earth for 70 or 80 years if we have the strength, but he created you to live with him in a perfect, immortal, holy place so that he might be yours and you might be his. When he returns, life as you know it will cease. No more eating and drinking, no more sleeping and waking, no more work and play. The way you've conducted your life for these past years will change. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. The mountains will crumble, and the oceans will dry up in the heat. What is now will not be again. Life will be different, vastly different, for Christ comes to make all things new, and he makes all things new with his judgment. What is unseen becomes seen. He will separate the believers from the unbelievers, putting the believers on his right and the unbelievers on his left. He will hold court, and he will welcome his believers into eternal mansions. When he returns, faith will turn to sight, and what you have waited for and hoped in and desired for these many years will be received with your eyes and your hands and your body. So keep your eyes forward. Heaven is worth it. Really, it is. There you will see the face of God, which comforts the soul and brightens the heart. There you converse with God, so that all of heaven resounds in love. United together in perfect love, you with God and God with you. His will be your will. His desires will be your desires. His joy will be your joy. The love between you and God will only grow and deepen as the eternities roll on. You will never be bored, never discontent, never disinterested. But he will be your complete joy and delight and gladness. And then the love that you have known on earth will seem very, very small compared to the love that God has for you. That does not diminish the love that God has given between spouses or parents and children, but it shows how great the love is that God has for you. Perfect love uniting you and God. Perfect love uniting you and all other believers. As God loves them, so you also will love them. As God delights in the saints, so you also will delight in your fellow saints, brothers and sisters from every tribe, language, nation, and people, throughout all time. But how can you love that which you do not know? And so you will know one another, and they will know you. And thus your love and joy will abound more and more. All elect, all chosen by God, all baptized and saved by his own blood. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, gathered out of the nations to be his treasured possession. This is what is yours for all eternity. This is what is yours when our Lord returns. So what a blessed and happy day, that day of judgment. What a glorious and lovely day when the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised. For in that very moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you will be changed. Your fallen flesh gone. Your ailments gone. Your weakness gone. Your tears and sadness and worries of the future gone. And in that moment, you will be perfect and holy and glorious and powerful and immortal and spiritual, even as God has promised to you. The moment your eyes see him and hear his trumpets is the moment of great joy and the beginning of eternity for you. No wondering, no fear, no terror. It's why you wake up in the morning to be found holy and righteous before God. How we long for it to be today. So that we might have the fruit of his love today and not have to wait till tomorrow. So what shall we do as we wait? What kind of people ought we to be? St. Peter answers that question when he tells us to live holy and godly lives as we eagerly await his coming. In heaven, we will be holy and will live in holiness. So let us do it now. The eternal things dictate what you do in this temporary life right now, so that ever so dimly you might manifest heavenly realities to the world around you. We are both passive and active. We are passive because we receive all good things from our God, the chief of which is salvation itself. Without any works or merit on our part, heaven is prepared for you. It is an inheritance. It is the work of Christ, won on the cross, and now freely given to you in word and in sacraments, so that all that he is, you also might be. But you are also active. For faith always does good works. A good tree bears good fruit. Justification leads to sanctification. You have been made holy so that you might live holy lives even now here on earth. What you are is not yet clearly seen, but we do see it dimly. We do see it as we engage in love and holiness, which of course is outlined by the Ten Commandments. So we cry out with our voice, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus," and we cry out with our good works the same. We desire to have the fullness of his glory. Avoid anything that robs you of this bliss, for Christ is returning. And there will be saints on his right, and there will be the unbelievers on his left. It is not God's fault that they perish eternally. God did not prepare hell for any person, but for the devil and his angels. But because men reject God's word, because they do not want the gifts that he so freely gives and think that they can deal with it good enough and earn their place in heaven, they also will be sent to be with the devil and his fallen angels. God wins forgiveness for all, but not all desire it. They are damned. Damned for all eternity because they want to live by their own pleasures, their own desires, their own feelings, their own will, rather than the will of God. And faith is snuffed out. There is no once saved, always saved. St. Peter urges you to holy and godly living. God alone gives faith. You cannot increase faith on your own, but your sin can rob you of faith. Your sin can destroy the faith that lives within. So avoid all things that is harmful and pursue love. Learn to die to your own passions, desire, and will through daily contrition and repentance. And learn to live a self-controlled, godly, and holy life, again, outlined by the Ten Commandments. Christ comes to judge, to separate believers from unbelievers, to send the cursed into hell, and to take the righteous to eternal life. He comes to turn faith into sight so that you may have by sight all that you have now by faith. So even now you don't fit in here. You are strangers and aliens in this world. This earth is not your home. Heaven is. That doesn't mean we despise the earth. It is still a gift from God, filled with many blessings. Just ask someone how the Lord has blessed them. And certainly you could think of one or two things. So we do not despise earthly things. We use it and thank God for it, but we are content. Whatever our situation in life, we are content because we know we have far greater blessings with our Lord in heaven. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Yes, life may be hard, but this is as bad as it's ever going to get for you. Yes, you have many temptations from the devil. But take heart, for Christ has overcome the world and has crushed the devil's head and has pardoned your every sin. The Son of Man has heard your prayers. He sees your good works. He is coming soon. He will answer. The angels stand ready. The trumpets are tuned. The throne is polished. The clouds are gathering. It will not be much longer. He comes in glory. He comes with judgment. He comes to make your joy complete. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.